You're listening to an LA Kings podcast. For more episodes of this and every other Kings program, visit lakings.com/podcast.
You're listening to the Rainy Day Podcast, the official podcast of the Ontario Reign, with your hosts, Cameron Close and Zach Dooley. Now, it's time to get in the pod.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to the Rainy Day Podcast. As always, I'm Cameron Close. Zach Dooley is here. We have Jacob Doty as our guest today. One of two recent announcements coming out of the Ontario Reign's communications department, which is you, Zach. Two players signing. It's Doty. It's Byron. They join Brett Sutter. There's now three official members of the Ontario Reign for next season.
Four official members, if you count Nick Halloran, college free agent signed earlier in the offseason. But we went from two to four earlier in the week, doubled our total. Jacob Doty and Blaine Byron, excited to have both of those guys back. Different contributors on the Reign side, but both guys who, you know, had different qualities that were valued by the organization. It's good to see both of them, you know, going to be back in a Reign sweater.
Really hope you enjoy the interview with Jake Doty later on. He was a pleasure to talk to. He's excited to come on. And he's a guy who's fun to watch play. He's a guy you really hope, like, let's say that he's a 70 player, right? Like if we're a video game rating. If he were a 75, like if he can just make that one little jump from last year, he would be a nightmare of a player to play against in this league. He'd be a third line, fourth line guy who just eats up minutes and makes you pay every time you go to play the puck. Like if he can just up that skating, that skill game a little bit, he's going to be a nightmare.
What I really liked about our interview with Doty is he recognized that's the level that he's at. Say he's a 70. He's a guy who's the 14th forward on most nights, who's playing every third night. And he recognized, like, my goal isn't to, you know, just go from that guy to like a first liner. He's just like, I want to be in the lineup every night. Like he knows where he's at. He appreciates being in the American Hockey League. And he's a guy that you definitely root for to be able to make that jump, because he brings something that no one else brings. He has a skill set that's different than what other guys have. You know, he's got great habits off the ice, a great teammate. And he's a guy that you want back. You want him in the room. And it's exciting that, you know, he was able to get another AHL deal.
Well, he was a pleasure to talk to. He's got a great head on his shoulders. But before we get to that, I have been watching hockey incessantly, Zach. I feel like I am reborn into my hockey fandom. Like, I'm watching every game. It's because, you know, we're working from home, so I've got every game on. And the weekends, I just sit there and watch all the games. It's, I don't know what it is about the no fans and the way the NHL hit the nail on the head with however they set this up. You know, for all the issues that there are, which we can, you know, get into, the round robin is a little weird and everything. It has been so fun to watch. I feel like it's more physical than any hockey I've seen in the last couple of years. I don't know if you feel that way. And it's just a gritty game. And then the whole setup, the whole game presentation is out of this world. It's great.
We're recording this here on a Thursday morning, and I'm already so spoiled by the all-day hockey that I was mad when there wasn't a 9 a.m. game on today. Like, I woke up ready for a 9 a.m. game, and it was the series that had ended, Carolina and New York, and I'm sitting here like, why is there not hockey on for me to start my day at 9? Like, I was mad that there wasn't a 9 o'clock game, and there's still five games in the day. So it's like, I'm already spoiled by that. Game presentation, I think they've pretty much, you know, hit out of the park. I think they've done a really good job making it not feel like they're playing in some youth rink with no atmosphere. Like, I think they've done a good job of that. Like, I've been riveted by at least the qualifying rounds. I'm not necessarily that into the round robin games just because they don't have the implications, but it's, you know, it's the best teams in the league, so there's that draw to it. But I've been, like you, pretty much watching, you know, morning to night.
Yeah, it's, you know, and maybe it's just because we haven't seen it in so long, because, you know, I'll be perfectly honest, like sometimes in my free time, I do not want to watch hockey. I watch however many Reign games every year. I probably am able to watch another, whether it's in person or on TV, 40 Kings games, maybe less than that. Maybe I don't watch them in their entirety. But like sometimes the last thing I want to do is watch the Wednesday night game. I'm like, you know what? Let's take a night off. When you work in it and I'm watching over 100 games a year easily, probably more. You know, sometimes you don't, but right now I can't get enough, and it has been awesome. Thank goodness it's back. And the presentation is awesome. The commentators have done exceptionally, like pretty much every one of them, all the national guys have been on point. It's just been great. It's been great to watch. And I can't get enough of it. And I want to ask you, I mentioned it right away. I feel like it's been more physical. It just looks more physical and more violent to me than usual.
I don't know if it's just because I haven't seen it in a while. I haven't noticed that, but maybe it's something I'll look out for.
Look out
for today's slate of games. I haven't picked up on it being like particularly physical. Like I think playoff hockey in itself is just another level of intensity.
Yeah.
And we've gone from no hockey in, 5 months to playoff to elimination games, to best of five. Like now we're facing elimination games here. We've seen one or two already. So I think it's just maybe that level of intensity. We went from regular season games to no games for 5 months. And then you don't jump back in with like fluff games. You're getting into games that like you lose and you're done.
What do you think about some of the clothing choices from the coaches? That has been stirring up Twitter a bit, where a few coaches have gone with the like Lululemon dress pants and the windbreaker jacket with the logo and maybe like a no tie with a button down, or maybe even just a polo underneath.
There's no rule you have to wear a suit, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, as long as they're not dressing in full uniform like baseball coaches are, I'm okay with it. I have no problem with coaches wearing like a team branded quarter zip, with nice clothes around it. Like I don't see why there's this, like maybe it's just like one of those things that, oh, because they've always done it, right? That's why they wear a suit. And you see it in other sports where like NFL, the coaches aren't all wearing the same thing. Right. In soccer, the coaches aren't all wearing the same thing. It's really just, baseball, they wear their uniform. Hockey, they wear a suit. And I think the NBA is usually suits. I don't really watch the league, but I'm all about, switching it up. Like I don't see why they have to be in a suit if they don't want to be.
Yeah, I'm there. Like, sometimes
imagine damn dry cleaning. If you had to be in a bubble for 2 months, how many suits would you need? Do they have a, dry cleaning place in the bubble?
They do. They seem to have everything. They have restaurants from what I hear. They have all this great stuff in there. It's apparently a lot of fun. But one thing I was annoyed with it when I first saw it for about 5 seconds and then kind of came to that, your state of mind there, because I'm a guy who's like, well, sometimes if it's the way it's always been done, is kind of like with stuff that doesn't matter with tradition, I'm like, well, tradition for tradition's sake is kind of cool. I don't really have a problem with that. Scotty Bowman wore a suit, right? So like I think about stuff like that. Not that that's a great argument. So I texted a coach and he brought something up that I wouldn't have even thought about. He's like, when you're back behind the bench, you're constantly leaning over to talk to players. You're getting all their sweat on them. People are spraying water all over you because the guy's squirting water in his mouth and then it's coming back behind and landing on your pants. He's like, you're getting a mess. So yeah, I don't want to wear a suit back there. I want to wear something that I can just walk and be comfortable in. Why? You don't have to worry about that. And I was like, that's actually a very good point that I would never think about. I like
100%. So yeah. I wouldn't think of that either. And yeah. I think I found in general that when the only reason why you do something is because we've always done it, then maybe it's something that doesn't need to be done.
Right.
But I never would have thought about that viewpoint.
Tradition for tradition's sake is okay. I like handshakes. There's no reason to do handshakes, but it's a tradition and I like it for that reason. I don't have a problem with that. So I don't have a problem. I don't necessarily agree with you on the front that like if it's always the way we've done it. Now, there are some things, we've talked about, like it's always the way we've done it, that they actually change things. Wearing a suit and not wearing a suit doesn't change anything. That's more of just tradition. It has nothing to do with anything else. So it's not like it affects me one way or another, like four columns in the AHL standings. So
which
that's
a travesty. Yeah.
That's a different thing. So, but yeah, that the first day I saw it, it was weird to see. It was very strange. Finally, the only other thing we can talk about, and who knows, Zach, I think we'll put this out before either of these series are done, but just in case we don't, sorry. There is a very strong possibility that if the Chicago and Montreal close out their series, that there's going to be a 25% chance that either the Oilers or the Penguins have the first overall pick. And you know what? We knew that going into it. We knew there wasn't a perfect way to do it. It's just kind of funny that like that's what we talked about. Like this could happen, and that could very well be how it turns out.
Of course, right? That's how it goes. Two of the more interesting series to watch, too, like that Chicago-Edmonton series, two teams that don't seem to have much interest in playing defense. You know, neither team has a goalie that's among the league's elites at this stage, but that series has been so much fun to watch them just play like this free-flowing style. It's such the opposite of like hardcore playoff hockey. And I think it's the kind of series that you normally wouldn't see two teams do well enough in the regular season to where to the point where they could play in the playoffs. Usually you might see them, you know, in opposite sides, like one in a series versus the other. But to get two teams like that in a series has been so much fun. And you could really throw Chicago into that boat too. Like Chicago could be in that conversation. Either Edmonton or Chicago could be in the conversation to get that pick. And yeah. If Pittsburgh falls, then you know, they could be there too to add another number one pick to that stable.
So before we talk to Jacob Dodier, we hear from anyone who's impressed you, any teams that you were like, I didn't really know going in, and now all of a sudden I'm on the bandwagon.
That's a good thought, actually.
I'll let you think about it, and I'll start. I was on the fence about them, but I think Calgary has a very solid club. And if they get goaltending, they have the leadership. I think Calgary has the best chance to win it out of any Canadian team. That's what I will
say. I was looking at that series, and I've always liked Winnipeg, and I feel like it's tough right now to gauge the Flames because Winnipeg lost their number one center, who is probably a top 10-ish center in the entire league, and they lost, you know, their 40-goal winger in Line A. So you take, you know, two top six forwards out of a team that probably doesn't have natural fill-ins below and a Calgary team that's fully loaded, and it's maybe hard to fully compare them, but I mean, Calgary is a good team. Like they definitely have been the better team in that series.
Yeah.
I did not think Carolina was just going to roll the Rangers like they did. And by the rankings, I probably should have expected that. Like Carolina's really good. Yeah. I never watch Carolina. They're not on TV. We're not in market, but Carolina is very good. Like they have a lot of really good players.
Very skilled team.
And they're maybe one of those teams who I was surprised, not because like I shouldn't be surprised. They're good in the standings. They made it to the conference finals last year, so they're a very good team, but you just don't really see them, and you don't get, they're not talked about like they're in that upper echelon.
Small market team.
Very good.
They got three guys out of the University of New Hampshire, so you shouldn't be that surprised that the skill level is there. Now granted, two of them haven't played a game in this series yet. But
it's about the locker room implications. Yeah, it's a locker room. What they're doing to boost the other players of greater skill. No, I'm just kidding. I don't even know who the players are. Is TVR there?
He is, but he has been scratched. Brett Pesci didn't go to the bubble. Okay. And then Warren Fogle.
Fogle was UNH? Okay.
Yeah, he went to Major Junior after a year or two. I think it was one year, and then he went. Just abandoned Durham.
I think he learned that play where he leaned over the net with the empty net to try and poke check. I think he learned that at UNH, though. I think that's a staple of UNH hockey from what I've been told.
That's a Coach Richie Umili special right there.
Classic, yeah.
Let's get into our interview with a man coming back to the Ontario ring. Jacob Doty plays forward for the Ontario Reign, and he joins us now. How are you, Jacob? Doing well?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Everyone's healthy here, so I hope the same for you guys. Thanks for having me.
Big, shiny new contract for you. You're coming back to the Ontario Reign. You must be happy that is in the books, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's anytime you can be in the American Hockey League or stay in the American Hockey League, you know, it's a good thing, and I'm excited to be back for another year and, you know, hopefully build off what I started last year and get the ball rolling again.
When guys come into the AHL on a PTO, you never really know what to expect. Could be 3 days, it could be a full year. In your case, turned out to be a full year, turned into an AHL deal last year. Was it nice to know, you know, that what you brought to the table, the things that you do on and off the ice, were valued by the Reign enough to not only sign you to a deal last year, but bring you back for another year, 2021.
Yeah, definitely. You know, everything happened so fast for me last year. You know, I think I signed the PTO to come to camp maybe 2 or 3 weeks before training camp is all, and then you know, ended up sticking and staying the whole year, which was nice. But it was nice kind of for me to, you know, show myself that I could play there again. I mean, if you look at my elite prospects or DB or whatever, I was over in the UK for you know, parts of 2 years in the coast, and I kind of accepted myself as being a coast guy. And so, you know, when I came into camp, I had a good camp and ended up staying all year, which was nice. And, you know, I was happy to do that and obviously happy to be back next year.
So let me derail this real quick before we get into the rest of the hockey stuff. I got a would you rather for you. Do you watch TV? Do you watch a lot of TV, big TV?
Some.
Okay. I have been getting into TV quite a bit with this pandemic myself. I'm watching The West Wing. I don't know if you've ever seen that one. It's good. It's good. It's older. It's good. So it's like White House, follows the White House. And there's one episode where the guys make a bet. They're like throwing rocks into a barrel. And whoever loses for the rest of the day, every time he introduces himself to anyone that he meets, if he says his name, he has to say, he has to follow it up with, I work at the White House. Like, he has to say that. He has to say that. So it gave me half of a would you rather that I'm going to give to you now. And Zach, I'm going to switch it up for you a bit, but you will be able to answer. So for the rest of your life, every time you introduce yourself to someone, you have to say, hi, my name is Jacob Doty. I'm a professional hockey player. And once you retire, once you're done, you have to say, I'm a former professional hockey player. You have to everyone. I don't care if you're going up to, you're checking in at a hotel and the guy says, what's your name? You're going to say, I'm Jacob Doty. I'm a professional hockey player. You're going to say, Zach, you're going to have to, yours is going to be a bit different. Yours is going to say, I work for the LA Kings. All right. And whatever, for the rest of your life, whatever team you work for, whatever. Or would you rather have to drive a smart car for the rest of your life? You can't drive anything else. If you're driving, it's a two-seater, very impractical, right? Especially you're up in Montana. I don't imagine you see a lot of smart cars bumming around. So it's the smart car or the introduction?
100% smart car for me.
You're taking the smart car.
Yeah. That full year I played in Glasgow, Scotland, in the UK, I drove a smart car for the full season. And it had...
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think you had, taken, by the way.
So I played for the Glasgow Clan, and we, our mascot was a Highland cow, like a cow with, like, shaggy long hair in its eyes and stuff. And that, we just had big loads. So it was a black smart car with huge purple logos of the team and a Highland cow on both sides of it.
That sounds horrible. Yeah.
So like anywhere you drove, like the team's name was on the car and the big cow, so couldn't get away with anything. But for the would you rather, 100% drive a car. I wouldn't want to introduce myself like that at all.
Zach, you taking the car too?
Well, I already introduced myself as Zach Dooley. I work for the LA Kings, so I don't know if it would be that different. But in actuality, I think I would also take the smart car. Like, I feel like, I don't know, like, I feel like it would suck on, like, long drives, but I feel like those are limited. I could ride passenger and just, you know, say I don't have a license or something if I have to.
You could drive for it.
Yeah, you'd be a passenger guy.
You would be a passenger.
It's tough. Like, you're talking about the rest of your life. I think I'd rather go the rest of my life trying not to introduce myself to people than doing the smart
car. No, Cam, look, it also, you've played this game before. That are we banking on that we're driving cars in 15, 20 years? Are we hovering?
Great, you know, call. Maybe, great call. Well, yeah.
Maybe there's new. Are we using flu transportation like in Harry Potter? Call. I don't know. There's a lot of options.
I've used that. I just, you know, I would. I think I'd like a family one day, and I don't want to have to go on the road trip, and then the kids get old enough to be like, Mom, why do we have to stop for 5 hours? Why can't you just switch with Dad? And then I'll say, you know, Dad made a decision decades ago. That's one. So I don't know if I want to have to explain that. So that's where I'm. All right.
I want to jump in a direction here before I forget. You played in Glasgow, and Dotes, I am a big supporter of Glasgow Celtic. Okay. And I'm wondering if you ever got to go to any of the games while you were over there.
I went to a Rangers game.
Okay.
I can't remember who they were playing. But I did go to Rangers game, and then I also went to a Scotland versus Slovakia World Cup qualifier. That was awesome. It was really fun. Obviously, both games, crazy crowds and stuff. So, yeah.
Is that town just, like, based around, like, Celtic and Rangers? Like, that's kind of how I've read about it. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it is. It's, yeah, there's it's wild over there. As an American, like, you would get asked, like, if you're out or whatever, out at a restaurant, or people would ask you Celtic or Ranger, and we were like instructed not to answer. You just say, I don't support football.
It's like the craziest rivalry I think I've ever seen. Like,
yeah,
like, they don't even let the fans sit in the sections like next to each other. They like block off a section because they would just like kill each other.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. Yeah, when Celtic Ranger play each other, that's another, like, we were told, like, just stay home for the night. Like, don't go into town. Don't go out to dinner. Like, it's so crazy.
I saw Green Street Hooligans once, and that's about my it's about the extent of my soccer knowledge with the hatred.
Yeah.
I want to get back to a lot of English stuff. Zach, I know you're very excited to talk about the English stuff, and you can do your soccer and whatever you want. But this is interesting. You're born in Denver. You're an American.
Yes.
And you go to play in Major Junior. Sometimes we see it the other way around. It's common to see guys, especially ones who play in like the BCHL and the Tier 2 Junior Leagues. They'll come to play in the NCAA, but you just said, see you later with the NCAA. I'm going to do it the other way around. How'd that come about?
So it happened, my coach, Junior A Tier 3, my assistant coach there in Yellowstone, his dad was the assistant coach in Seattle in the Western Hockey League, which is, he came to watch me for a weekend. I ended up signing a tender with Seattle and, made the team out of camp the next year there. So that's how it happened. And for me, I just thought it was the best route, given my playing style. So, and wasn't the best student myself. So I just think that was the best route for me to go.
Gave you a more direct path to playing at a higher level too, right? Because usually NCAA, you know, a lot of the freshmen are 20 years old, so you're playing lower level hockey leading up to that. But you kind of jumped right in at a younger age, right? You know, playing in the WHL.
Yeah, definitely. And and like I said, it just kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, I knew I wanted to play at a high level, but I was, you know, I was hoping to move from Tier 3 where I was playing maybe into the NHL or hopefully the USHL. But then the WHL thing just kind of happened, and I went on a visit when I was 15 out to Seattle, watched a couple games, and then ended up signing the tender, like I said, and played the first couple months in Seattle that next season. So just kind of happened, and, you know, I'm very happy I made that choice. I think it turned out to be the right one for me.
I feel like as an American, I don't have an appreciation for small hockey towns in Canada. Sure. Like, I know that they're there. I know there's a ton of major junior teams, and there's Red Deer, and you played at Medicine Hat, right? Like, there's these random towns. So you start playing in Seattle, which is a very metropolitan area. Now, NHL city. Did it take some getting used to? You start traveling up to play all these WHL teams. You're seeing these small but very fierce hockey towns. Like, you're learning a whole different part of the world, kind of.
Yeah, it wasn't different for me, really. I mean, being from Billings, Montana, it's a relatively small town itself. So, I'd say it was almost the other way around. Moving to Seattle was more of the culture shock for me. And going to high school in Seattle, and it was seven times the size of my high school at home. So I'd say that was the biggest shock. And then, going into those cities was cool. Again, being from Montana, not a huge hockey state, or there's not a ton of hockey. So seeing those communities be so hockey wild was cool.
You go to the WHL at 16, and at what point in your career there did you start to think, like, you know what, maybe I could become a professional hockey player?
Honestly, the whole thing kind of caught me by surprise, and that might sound weird to say, but I guess I went to NHL camp in Florida as an 18-year-old, and even then, I mean, I don't think pro hockey was on my radar, or at least signing an NHL contract wasn't on my radar. I knew I probably could have played in the ECHL if I wanted to, or do that. And then the same thing as a 20-year-old when I went to St. Louis. I went and played in a rookie tournament in Traverse City. Had good games, a couple good fights, and ended up making main camp and signing a contract out of main camp. And I tell everyone this is like, going into that 20-year-old season, I wasn't sure if I was going to make Medicine Hat as a 20-year-old. You can only have 3 20-year-olds. We had 7 at the time. So I wasn't sure that I was going to stay there. I thought I was maybe going to get traded and have to battle for another 20-year-old spot somewhere else. You know, playing Junior A that year crossed my mind, like close or at home. And then when I, going into that season, I thought, honestly, I was going to take my WHL scholarship and just go to the University of Montana here in Missoula. Like I said, pro hockey or signing an NHL contract wasn't on my radar at all. And then it all just happened like that. And here we are 7 years later.
What do you think you'd be doing right now if you weren't?
No clue. No idea. I honestly couldn't give you the first clue as to what I'd be doing.
Not a plan B guy. Neither am I, to be honest.
No plan.
So anyways, let's keep moving forward and talk about your first season, because you're in Alaska, which is that Fairbanks, the Aces? Were they in Fairbanks?
We were in Anchorage.
They're in Anchorage? Okay.
Yeah.
For some reason I thought they were Alaska, Anchorage.
Well, NCAA has the two Alaskas, right? And the Fairbanks, and then they have Anchorage.
Fairbanks has cool jerseys with the green and the whatever.
That one.
What's that? Say that again. You cut
Anchorage has the green and yellow, and Fairbanks. Okay.
Those are the cool jerseys then. Forget about Fairbanks. Forget I even brought it up. So you're playing hockey in Alaska. You travel, and you played there, you know, for a couple of years. You played there for 1 year. Your travel was incessant. I mean, that must have been something else. You're on a plane every weekend, just
about. Yeah, racked up the frequent flyer miles that year. It was actually kind of nice when went on a completely free vacation that summer. So it was good. But yeah, the travel was crazy. Being in Alaska, we flew everywhere. So it wasn't that bad. We'd just be on the road kind of for 10 days at a time, and then home for 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, and then back on the road for a week at a time. It was just longer road trips, but we flew everywhere, obviously, so it was fine.
Cam and I worked with Greg Wolf, who I believe was on that team with you when we were in Adirondack. And I think he told me once that there was like one, like 21-day road trip that you guys had to do where you were just on the road for like 3 weeks straight. Like, do you remember that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was crazy. And I didn't pack very well for that trip. didn't have enough clothes, but yeah, 21 days and flying everywhere, hotel to hotel is long time. We played a lot of games and it was fun though. It was something I can look back on later in life and be kind of crazy that was actually kind of a normal thing back then. But yeah, it's wild.
21 days in the ECHL, that's like almost $100 in per diem.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
We did a long one in Adirondack, and I remember I was like psyched. It was like $600. We were gone for like 18 days and it was amazing. But it was tough because we did the AHL first. The AHL per diem compared to ECHL is like one up, you're in the 1%. Like, that's totally, I can only imagine. I mean, Zach's been on a charter flight in the NHL.
That week in the NHL, yeah, they take care of you.
So you're bouncing back and forth, AHL, ECHL with Chicago, things like that. And then you go to England. What spouted, or to the UK, you go to Scotland first. Anyway, what spouted that that decision?
I'm not sure. I mean, I knew that league, you know, I kind of liked players that play the way I do, and I wasn't completely happy playing in the ECHL that year. I thought I, you know, got a bad bounce. I got hurt coming out of training camp, and then, just played the 4 games in the American League and sent down, and kind of felt like just kind of sent down, see you later, see you never kind of thing, and ended up spending the rest of the year in the ECHL. And I just kind of wanted a little bit of a fresh start and, you know, chance to see the world, travel a little bit. And, you know, it ended up being a really good thing for me. I got to play a bunch, played a lot of minutes, played with good players. My wife and I really enjoyed Glasgow and, you know, have a lot of people we're still in contact with and talk to regularly. So, and it ended up being a really cool thing for us.
And, you know, you're maybe not known for your offensive production, but in England, that first year, you had some pretty big numbers, top three on the team in scoring. What was it that allowed you to just be such a good offensive player? Was it style of play, you know, just your team?
I think it was just I got a really good opportunity from the start. I came into training camp in pretty good shape, and the coach was a real stickler for that. So I think I got a little better opportunity right off the start, and I just kind of ran with it. And ended up being, obviously the best year of my career numbers-wise. And, it was a lot of fun. Played a lot of minutes, power play, that kind of stuff. So it was a good year for me, and, it was a lot of fun, like I said, and really loved it over there.
You had to get in shape to fit inside of that smart car.
Yeah.
So I've never been to England. I've never been to the UK. I have heard from people who have been there that you don't go for the food. Like, the food isn't that good. There's not. Is that true? Or is that?
Yeah, I'd say that's completely true.
Really?
Yeah. It's the fish and sticks are very good. Or fish and chips, sorry.
Yeah.
That's really good. But other than that, it's pretty average.
What did you enjoy about living there? Like, it's obviously got to be nice that it's for guys who go and play overseas. This one's an English speaking country. So I imagine right off the rip, that made it a little bit easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously that was a good, easy transition to start. And then, I think the main thing was just the people were so welcoming, so nice, everywhere you went, people were so friendly, welcoming, curious, as to why you were there. And so I think that was just a big part. We had a good group of teammates and families around them, so just the whole situation was really good, and we really enjoyed it.
I feel like most of the players who tell their Europe stories, their horror stories, are kind of from Russia or Eastern Europe. Did you have any of those like weird experiences that you hear so much of playing over there?
No, I can't think of anything that compares to those kind of stories, at least. I can't think of anything. My experience was really good, honestly. So, I can't say a bad word about it.
That's Eastern Europe. So you hear about those.
Like, it's always Eastern Europe.
Eastern Europe, where like there aren't any rules and nobody pays taxes and everything's corrupt and
paying you in the back room, bags full of legal tender, whatever they add there. And
Western Europe, stay there.
Yeah. So one of the unique things about you is that you grew up in Montana, which is not a place that's known for producing professional hockey players. So I came up with a little game to test your Montana knowledge. Cam, you can play too. But I did some research on famous people from Montana. I did not find very many, but there were a few. I'm going to see if you guys know which of the people that I'm going to mention is from Montana. So the first category is NBA head coaches. Which was born in Montana? Was it Doc Rivers, Pat Riley, or Phil Jackson?
Phil Jackson.
He's going to know all these.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't be like so 100 sure.
100 people he's from Montana. He probably
well, he's one for one. Next category is professional broadcasters who were raised in Montana. Is it Joe Buck, Brent Musburger, or Marv Albert?
Brent Musburger.
Oh, he's two for two.
Yeah, he's good.
He's hot. You know, if he goes 5 for 5, that's good. You know your homeland.
Send him an In-N-Out gift card. Or
I've got the last one I have is tough. So we'll see if my fourth one stumps you. But NFL QB bust. Was it Jamarcus Russell, Ryan Leaf, or Akili Smith?
Ryan Leaf,
3 for 3. See, there's not much to go off of. Like I was looking deep for these, and Ryan Leaf's a pretty big name.
Yeah.
This is like the block party in Montana.
We got 3/4 of the Mount Rushmore of Montana athletes.
Yeah, actually.
Last one I have is, which Willy Wonka character was born in Montana? Was it Mike TV, Veruca Salt, or Violet Beauregard?
I'm going to go with the Salt. I don't know. What'd you say, Veruca Salt?
Veruca Salt, Cam, Mike TV, Veruca Salt.
Mike TV is like a cowboy kind of thing, so I'm going to say Mike TV.
You are both wrong. It is actually Violet who blows up like a blueberry during the original Gene Wilder 1970s film.
Where's Mike TV from?
I didn't look up Mike TV's demographics. I just saw Violet was listed on the Wikipedia page for Montana. Yeah. It's like fictional characters. Also, Peggy Hill from King of the Hill was a fictional character born in Montana. So,
Nothing on Evil Knievel?
What was that?
Nothing on Evil Knievel?
I think I saw Evil Knievel, but I didn't know. Like, I couldn't think of two comparables for Evil Knievel. Like, there's Evil Knievel, and then there's like all the other guys for stuntmen. Like
Barnum and Bailey.
So I think that he is on there. He's probably number one.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
How far? Here's a one for me only. How far? None of our listeners are going to care. How far do you live from Tom Brady's house that I saw on his Facebook show?
He's in Whitefish, right?
I don't know.
I think he's in Whitefish. It's like little over 2 hours.
Okay.
Montana's pretty big, right? I remember my United States map that I had growing up, and Montana is maybe not a ton of people, but it's a huge state.
Yeah, it's huge. My parent, like where I grew up is 5 hours away, and it feels like forever when you're driving. It goes on.
Montana is one of my favorite places to Zillow. You can just find acres for like $50,000. How do you know how your family got to Montana?
No.
Like, are you like from a long line of Montanians?
Not a long line. My grandparents moved to Montana. I'm not exactly sure why, but they opened up a butcher shop, and then obviously my dad grew up in Montana, and then me. So not a long.
You still have the butcher shop?
No, he sold it.
That's a good, like, if you know a butcher, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good fun fact too about yourself. Like, yeah, we own a butcher shop in Montana. You never need an icebreaker again.
Yeah.
That'd be your new nickname in the NHL. You'd be the butcher.
The butcher.
let's talk about the NHL. You know, you mentioned earlier, like, I could see myself playing in the ECHL, but I didn't really think pro hockey. Now all of a sudden you're signing an AHL deal. You're becoming a pretty tenured guy, but you know, last season you weren't getting sent back down by the end of the year, like it probably wasn't that. So,
right.
You know, where do you see yourself at right now? Do you approach it from, I'm going to stay in the AHL this whole year? Are you starting to say, like, you know what, I am a breath away from the NHL, and that's an opportunity? What's your mindset heading into a, you know, what hopes to be for you at least an AHL full season?
Yeah, I think, like you kind of mentioned, I kind of accepted myself as an ECHLer, and then, you know, kind of scratched and clawed this year. But now, this summer, I am taking it to, you know, I'm have a new belief kind of that I am a player and can be a full-time American leaguer, and I am that step away from the NHL. But, you know, I think my next step I'm taking this summer is I'm coming for a roster spot every night. You know, I was mostly out of the lineup last year, but you know, I'm looking to take that next step and be a regular, and you know, push to be in that lineup every night. So personally, that's how I'm taking it, and I think I'd be selling myself short if I wasn't thinking like that.
When you're not playing every night, you know, what is it that motivates you to keep going? Is it, you know, the thought of getting back into the lineup? Because it can't be easy, you know, if you're only playing, you know, one out of three, four nights in the AHL.
Yeah, it's getting back in, you know, just trying to stay positive, finding something, you know, what, just looking forward to that next chance. So I think I did a good job of staying positive this year. And, you know, like I said, I was mostly just happy to be back in the American League. So, you know, I'm looking to take that another step going into this season. And You know, all I can do is prepare myself for that.
Do you enjoy fighting?
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
So take us through how it works now. You know, like there was a time even 8 years ago, maybe even less, that you knew who was fighting. Like you could see whoever talking during the warm-up, and now sometimes you have to search to find a dance partner. It seems like that's part of your role, but you're not guaranteed a fight every night.
Right. Yeah. I think now there's just that handful of guys that, you know, do fight, and, you know, as you can see just by looking at the numbers, they aren't doing it every night like you used to. And obviously there's the 10 fight rule. So I think to find a fight nowadays, you almost have to make a big hit or respond to a big hit. There's just not as much of it. And, it's just kind of is what it is. It's the way the game's gone, and just have to adapt to it and, you know, try and find a way to stick around.
Do you think your reputation at all has minimized the number of fights you had? Because looking at your stats from last year, in the regular season, you only had two or three fights. Like, was it an issue of, like, getting guys to go with you specifically?
I mean, I don't know what it was on their end. I mean, I look for fights. You know, I obviously that's a big part of my role, and I enjoy doing it. And, you know, I think it's obviously a big reason why I was there in the first place. So, I couldn't tell you why I didn't have as many fights, but I don't know if it's reputation or just the games I was in, not playing as much as, you know, other guys, and maybe that's one of the reasons too, but I couldn't tell you exactly why, but you know, hopefully that changes this coming year.
You changed your number halfway through the season last year, and you were wearing your coach Mike's old number. So, you know, talk us through changing it and how that all went down.
Yeah, so I was in 23 to start the year, and I just didn't think it fit me very well. I don't know. I didn't really like the way it looked, or, you know, like it much at all. And I wasn't going to say anything, obviously, while I was on a PTO. And then when I ended up signing contract, I had a little conversation with Luke, the equipment manager, about it. And he showed me the numbers that were available, and he said he would ask Stutz, and, you know, 44. He's like, oh no, like no one's ever worn 44 here. We'd have to run that by Stutz. And so he ran it by him, and, you know, I got Stutz's blessing, which was pretty cool. So I got to wear 44 for a little bit. And so that's just kind of how it happened.
He's obviously, you're going to enter the season with a bit of an unknown, but, you know, Mike Stuthers was a big part of the organization for, you know, bringing it out here. And from Manchester, for you, what was it like having a coach, maybe you had one before him, who his career was similar to yours? He, the all-time penalty minutes leader in Hershey. What was it like having a guy like that to bounce things off of?
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, it's always nice to have a guy like that in your corner. And, you know, I think he respected, you know, the physical part of the game, and, you know, the stuff that I did. So it was, you know, a really, really good feeling for me, knowing, you know, that I had a coach that, you know, liked the way I played at all times, and someone who had been there and done what I was doing before was nice too. You know, we could talk about things during the week at practice, or, you know, talk about things we saw, you know, laugh about some stuff, and tell some stories. So it was nice to have him for sure.
Do you think, what do you think the role of fighting is going to be in the game moving forward? You know, 10 years ago, it was in a different place than it is now. And you'd have to imagine, you know, it's going to change in some way moving forward. How do you see the role of fighting and the enforcer as hockey goes forward?
I think the days of just enforcer, just fighting is gone. I would venture to say that it's gone right now. I mean, you know, it's, you have to be able to somewhat play. Otherwise you're just not going to be there. And, you know, as far as fighting going forward, I think it'll mostly stay about what it is right now. I mean, if you look at the NHL playoffs that are going on right now, there's been a handful of fights in those games, and, you know, it's not necessarily the big you know, rough, rugged guys that are doing it. So I think that's the way it's gone the past couple of years. And I would, if I had to guess, you're going to see more of that in the future. But, you know, there's obviously going to be the bigger guys who, you know, are maybe more experienced doing it. And, you know, as long as they can play and, you know, keep up, I think that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, I don't think, and I could eat my words on this, but I don't think it's going away under Bettman. Like, I think if it was going to go away, it'd be away by now. The only thing you think of is if there is a major incident that made a national thing. You know, hopefully that never happens. But I don't think the other leagues will get rid of it until the NHL gets rid of it. And I don't think Bettman will get rid of it. That's just
me. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I would like to think that it will be around forever. You know, it's part of the game, has been for a long time. And I think, you know, just like we just talked about what has happened in the past 10 years, it's gone down dramatically. So I wouldn't be surprised if it just stays on that course and, you know, it stays about what it's at right now, but we'll see.
I bet you'd like it better if not everyone was wearing a visor. I can only imagine nailing it. Nonetheless, that's, you know, it's a fun thing to talk about, probably not at much length, but it is a part of the game, like you said. So
yes.
Well, I imagine you're looking forward to this season whenever it begins. Jake, we really appreciate you coming on, and I think fans will be looking forward to seeing you, whether that be from a screen or in person, hopefully sooner than later.
Yes. Yeah, me too. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks again to Jake Doty. Looking forward to seeing what he can do this year. And Montana, not a lot going on, but you know.
Violet from Willy Wonka.
That's right. That's all it is. Okay. College hockey finally did something great. The NCAA made it so that there won't be ties anymore. They're going to go to an overtime and a shootout, basically the same way the NHL does it. With their conference matchup. So that's good. That's a good step. But here's something I've always thought, and I want to get your thoughts on it, Zach. So hockey, the NHL, it's fourth on the list. If you go football, baseball, basketball, hockey, it's fourth. It's fourth in fans. It's fourth in revenue in the United States, everything like that.
And depends who you ask, I guess. I don't think it's not higher than fourth, but I'd say there'd be a lot of people who might say it's lower. It doesn't defeat your argument, but yeah.
You mean like soccer? Are you saying, or?
I think, yeah, you could say soccer. I think it might go into, but you could say college sports are higher. There's probably certain people.
I'm talking
four major sports. You know, different things, but go on.
Four major sports, like those.
Yeah.
The four ones that have big national TV contracts, and I'm not including NASCAR. Like that, those are the
okay, ones. That's fine.
So I college football is huge. So you just said it. College basketball is huge. People know who's going to be going to the NFL and the NBA before they get there. In hockey, you don't know a thing about the guys until they get drafted. And like nobody knows a thing about the stars in college hockey. So my argument is, I feel like if I'm USA Hockey, right? They spend a lot of time on youth hockey, a lot of time getting people to the game. They should focus on marketing college hockey. You're playing two games a weekend, showcase the best teams every weekend, do one game, you know, two game, whatever it is, some sort of something like that just targets it, and you market star players. You take, like, everybody and their mother knows this Trevor Lawrence kid, if you know anything about football. Whether I'm not a college football fan, and I've known about Trevor Lawrence since day one. You know, Phil Kessel played college hockey. Zach Parise played college hockey. A lot of great players play college hockey. Find those stars at the college level. Make college hockey. It's never going to be as big as basketball or football. I get that. But make it a big thing. Make the, you know, pick eight great teams and target those teams every year and just take a great star player that you can watch, play freshman, maybe he plays his sophomore year, and then he goes to the NHL. And then I think over time, hockey as a whole will get more popular. I know this is kind of coming out of left field and coming out of nowhere, but I just think that the only way to make hockey more popular, like Wayne Gretzky goes to the Kings, everybody gets excited and hockey becomes that much bigger. Now I think the only other way to do it is to get it bigger in America is to make college hockey bigger. Make people like college hockey more. Then they'll like the minors. Then they'll like everything else. I don't know. You know where I'm going with that?
I know where you're going with it. I don't think I agree with it because I'll use exactly what you just said. Like, Wayne Gretzky did not play college hockey, and the next Wayne Gretzky will not play college hockey if he's from Canada. Like, there's no reason for that player to play college hockey. And if you look at the superstars in the NHL, you're going to find some that did. But Zach Parise, for example, he played college hockey at North Dakota, and he was not an NHL star for probably 4 years. Whereas when you look at Trevor Lawrence, like you said, Trevor Lawrence is going to go from starting at Clemson to starting in the NFL in 1 year. And I think that's the difference, is we're not talking about guys who, in most cases, maybe like a Johnny Gaudreau is a out there example. Like, Johnny Gaudreau went from college hockey to the NHL and was a star right away. I think he is the exception of the rule, not the majority of the rule. And that's your problem with it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like what USA Hockey does with making youth hockey bigger. I think they do a better job right now than Hockey Canada does. And we talked about that a bit with Scott Wheeler on a previous podcast. We said, you know, maybe at some point USA will be winning far more World Junior than Canada could eventually overtake them in like an Olympics. You know, and if you go 10 years down the line, perhaps. The popularity of it. You said it, you know, like, the major junior dominates the great players coming in, and America is never going to be interested in major junior hockey. I'm not interested in it, and I don't think you are either. It's not like we're paying attention to it. The only time I pay attention to major junior hockey is when we have a draft pick that might play for the Reign at the end of the year, and I just want their team to get eliminated from the playoffs so that he comes to the Ontario Reign. That's the only – and so it's just – you wonder, like, I like the step that college hockey took the other day or a few weeks ago, the other day, it was like months ago. I like the step that they took in making it more mainstream and making there be shootouts. And
is it 3-on-3? Is the OK
3-on-3? Which I don't love that either. I wish they figured
out. It has to be 3-on-3.
I get it. You play two games a weekend, though. You play two games a week. So why not do...
But it's not deciding. It's not a limit, you know, 5-on-5, you get the same number of points as you would have if the game ended in a tie. You still get your one, right?
3-on-3. I just do 5 minutes of 4-on-4 first, then do 5 minutes of 3-on-3. Like, you have the time.
I guess in college you could do it because there's like the NHLPA would never allow that in the NHL.
Too long.
But the college team could do it.
Yeah.
They could just say, hey, you're doing this. What are the, like, they're not going to do anything about it. I don't know. I thought that the ECHL, when we were there, they tried that with the 7 minute switch thing, and I didn't like it. I thought that you never got to 3-on-3 fast enough. You sometimes wound up playing 4-on-4 for 6 out of 7 minutes, and then it was just 4-on-4.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that.
But I'd be open to like a 7 minute 3-on-3 or a 10 minute, you know, I'd be open to.
Yeah, I could live with something like that. I you know, whatever you can do to keep them away from the shootout. Like, the shootout will always be the final nail. If you can't figure it out, I have no problem with the shootout. It's better than anything else. But
for the regular season, it's fine.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. It's a way to decide a game. You know, like when teams are playing back-to-backs, games 60 and 61 of a schedule, you don't want to be playing 20 minutes of OT. So I get it for the regular season. And I don't, it's not perfect. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
For the regular season play.
I just
the Big Ten was already doing this too. The Big Ten,
yeah, the Big Ten was ahead
conference of conference tiebreakers. They were doing this.
I hate to say it, but they have put a lot of these leagues to shame. A lot of these conferences, like Hockey East and the NCHC, are supposed to be the good ones, and then the Big Ten comes in and does things right. They make a league and they just figure it out.
Well, I mean, the Big Ten
entertain.
And they had, you know, high profile programs. Not saying it was, you know, the biggest, but like Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin. These are programs that have competed. You know, for Minnesota, for national titles in recent times. Minnesota, I mean, that early 2000s title over the Wildcats
was a great win.
But yeah, I don't know. I like that. I don't necessarily agree on, you know, college hockey being the answer for growing the game. It can't hurt, but I don't know if it's not quite apples to oranges. I don't think for the NFL or the NBA with their college games. Unless the sport were to massively overhaul.
Yeah, well, that's what I think they need. So what irritates me with the marketing is when you're marketing an NHL team, you do it nationally, right? Everybody can watch. There's so much information. The AHL, you need to be an AHL fan. We get
the community to buy in, the market is what's driving the team because they're going to the games. That's, you know, it's, you're getting people to the games. With college hockey, you have an opportunity to get, you know, if you're Minnesota, every Minnesota alumni who's ever gone there is going to be a fan if you give them a reason to be one. And I don't think that it's such a great sport. It's a very easy sport to follow. It's as easy to follow as following a football team because you play two games a weekend. So you know that who you're playing, everything like that. And it's so, like, I look for college hockey news and sometimes I can't find it. You go to uscho.com. A lot of big schools have college hockey teams, huge alumni networks, and there just isn't a place to get news. And I just think that you could help drive the game in this country. It would, you know, maybe
I will give you that.
It's a fool's hope.
It is so hard to find college hockey news.
Yeah.
Like, just to find the rankings, like you have to go to specific sites about college hockey. Like, I've working in the industry, I look up college hockey stats when, you know, looking at prospects and stuff, and it isn't easy necessarily to find the information about the players without going to the team site or one of these specialized sites that, like, I'd only go to for that.
Maybe it's a fool's hope to think the NHL will ever be more popular in this country than the NBA, but it's a better sport and it's a better league, so that's just my hope. It's a, you know, that's my hockey diatribe for today. It's just something I've been thinking about. I needed to get off my chest. Hopefully you'll humor me. Well, the other guy who rejoined the Rain, Blaine Byron, we also talked to him. We're going to talk to him next week, so be sure to tune in to the next Rainy Day podcast next week. Thanks again to Jacob Doty. Zach, enjoy the rest of the qualifying round. By the time we speak again, we'll be into the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And that's pretty exciting. I guess they'll put playoffs down on the ice now. That's the only thing that's annoyed me about the game presentation. It just says Stanley Cup, and there's nothing else on the ice where it should say Stanley Cup playoffs.
Just waiting to unveil it.
That's right. You know that they just put that down. And the other thing is, they're just ready to put it right around it. They're waiting to do that on both of those venues. All right. Enjoy the rest of your week. We will talk to you next week, and we'll talk to Blaine Byron. Have a good one.